In Luke chapter 10, stand with me one last time if you would please. I'm going to read in verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. And when Jesus uses your name twice like that, amen, he's got something to say to you. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, this is a well-known story. I want to draw your attention back to verse 40, though. The first line says, Martha was cumbered about much. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your help this morning. Thank you for your blessings already, for Sunday school, for these kids, Lord, and how you're growing our children's ministry. God, help us to love these kids, to pray for these kids, and God, help us to reach their families, Lord, I pray. And Father, in the meantime, while we're here today, Lord, please meet with us in a special way. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. I want to try to encourage those that are cumbered about much this morning, Lord. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, take control now of everything that comes out of my mouth. Help me, God, to stay out of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Cumbered about much. Jesus showed up here at Martha's house. Can I tell you something? He didn't show up here accidentally. Jesus was not a wanderer. Amen. He was not a wandering lost sheep like we all were. All we like sheep were gone astray. But Jesus did things on purpose. Yeah, right. Jesus went places on purpose. He had a purpose and a plan for every step that he ever took. And he showed up at Martha's house. And notice it says here in verse 38 at the end there, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, I'm going to liken this today unto salvation, okay? I'm going to liken that phrase right there, Martha received him, I'm going to liken that unto salvation. Because really, that's what salvation is. It's with you and me, and when Jesus comes to us, we didn't go to him, amen? He came to us. And when he comes to us, we either receive him or we reject him. Okay, Martha did not say, Jesus, go away. Jesus, our next door neighbor needs you more than I do. Jesus, I don't want to have no part with that. By the way, that's pretty much, you know, one of two responses I get with these gospel tracts, just like you. When you go to the door, by the way, Saturday mornings is at 10:30.
Thank you.
Brother Worcester showed up yesterday at 10. Can you believe that? I said, Brother, I'm so sorry. But it's 10:30, and he'll know next time.
Amen.
But he still went out by himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. But all we're doing with taking these gospel tracts is we're just taking them to the door,
yeah.
And they either receive him or they don't.
Yeah.
And some of them don't. Martha received him, however, and I'm going to liken this unto salvation. So let's say that Martha, right then and there, okay, she got saved.
Amen.
Let's just, for sake of illustration, I really don't know when Martha got saved, but she received Jesus into her house. She let him in.
Amen.
Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear me and will open the door unto me, I will go in unto him, and I will sup with him and he with me. Amen. Behold, Jesus, stand at the door. So Martha, he knocked, Martha let him in. So once Martha, listen, had received Jesus, everything went haywire. Everything went awry. Everything went bad. Once a person gets saved, it often happens that their life seems to all of a sudden go haywire.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to all of a sudden get out of order, completely upside down. Like what in the world did I just do? Well, Martha's life, Martha's day, let's put it that way, Martha's day went haywire. I mean, sometimes it seems like after a person lets Jesus in, they hear a good gospel message, they get a soul winner knock on their door, they receive the message, they may even get baptized, but when they get saved, when Jesus gets in their heart and gets involved in their life, and then it's sometimes, quite frankly, it seems like more often than not, they find themselves in a big mess. They start to wonder, what in the world is happening? What in the world is going on? What in the world did I just do? Why is this happening? And can I tell you something? Listen, it can be pretty discouraging. And can I say this? I'm not just preaching to newly saved people either. We don't know how long Martha or Jesus was in her house before everything went sideways on her. But sooner or later, can I tell you, Christians, that it's going to seem like that you letting Jesus in caused more problems than you had before. Just listen. It's going to seem that way. Now, I guarantee you, it seemed that way to Martha. This can happen, like I said, right after Jesus comes in. Or it can be later on after salvation. Like I said, we really don't know. Between verse 38, Martha received him into her house. And verse 39, she had a sister. And verse 40, she was cumbered about much. We don't know how much time transpired. We know it was the same day. But we really don't even know that. He could have slept there for a couple days and rested. And we don't know. All we know is that with Jesus in her house, you would have thought that everything would have been absolutely wonderful. But it wasn't. It wasn't. The Bible plainly says she was cumbered about much. Jesus was there, but Martha's day turned bad. Can I tell you, of course, not because Jesus was there, but that's what anyone could have possibly thought. Let me just say that before I go any further. Things are not always what they seem. Right?
Amen. Right?
Everything that glitters is not gold. Everybody that looks good is not good.
That's right.
Just from a bird's eye view of this story, you would say, wow, everything went haywire because Jesus showed up. But really, you need to be careful. And I'm going to point out the fact that that's not the reason that things went haywire. And can I tell you, it's not the reason for you or me either. It's never Jesus' fault.
That's right.
Is Mary
Martha's sister Holy Mary of Jesus?
No. It's never Jesus' fault. But listen. If we're not careful, we'll find him to blame. Because again, remember, all she did was let him in. Now, but here's what really caused her day to turn bad, listen, is verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much. The word cumbered means, there's lots of different, it's only used twice in the Bible. But in this case, it means, really, listen, to drag all around. To drag all around. To be so loaded down with burdens and cares and concerns and just it's just like dragging them all over the place. I mean, wherever you go, there's your burden. That's what it means. She was cumbered about much. She was dragging much. Listen now, don't miss this. Just pay attention. She was dragging much Notice in verse 41, Jesus answered, said, Martha, thou art careful and troubled, notice, about many things. She was dragging many things around. And it began to turn bad. She, notice what this being cumbered about. Let me give you some synonyms, okay? Some different ways to understand what it means to be cumbered about. Cumbered about much. It means to be hindered. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 to lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. If you were to carry around a bag of weights, on a backpack or something all day long, I mean, it's going to hinder you. You're not going to be able to walk very far. You're not going to be able to walk without more pain and pain. You're not going to be able to get, you're not, surely not going to be able to walk very fast. It's going to hinder you. It's going to hamper you. It's going to be a burden. What's happening here is that Martha is weighed down with burdens. And listen, this was distracting her. These burdens, you can't walk around with a big heavy burden on your back and not be distracted. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm doing fine. Can't you tell? How are you doing? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. It's never going to leave your mind. It's never going to leave your mind. You're not going to get used to a big heavy weight on your shoulder dragging you around all the time. It's never going to leave. It's going to be a constant, listen, distraction. A constant distraction. She was literally, according to the Bible, and you do some studies here in the Word, different definitions, she was literally embarrassed. She was literally embarrassed with Jesus in the room. You know, sometimes we get so weighed down with stuff, with burdens, with concerns, with cares. But we don't really want to be around Jesus because we know that it's disgraceful what we're carrying around. So we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed. I don't want Jesus to see me like this. I don't want Jesus to know what I'm thinking. I don't want Jesus to know what's in my heart. Now, he already does, but we seem to think, you know, if we just don't read our Bibles or pray or don't go to church, then he won't know. But listen, I'm telling you, she was so distracted that she was so burdened down about so many things that she. Listen, I'm gonna give you some different. But she was embarrassed. She was distressed. She was perplexed. And you would think, man, you just let Jesus in. That shouldn't define your day. That shouldn't define your life. But I'm here to tell you today, and as God laid this on my heart to preach this morning, more and more Christians who have let Jesus in, their life is defined by distress and perplexities and shame and disgrace and burdens, and they're just weighed down and distracted. And it's like Jesus is sitting right there, but it makes no difference to them because their life is just a big burden.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I do know about you. I'm not the only one. Martha wasn't the only one. You're not the only one.
Right.
But we all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Being cumbered about much caused her, number one, to be critical. These are some tests for you to figure out, am I cumbered about much? Well, number one, she was critical. Verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does I not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So she's critical of her sister. She says, Jesus, why isn't she helping me? Jesus, don't you see what I'm doing? Jesus, why isn't she helping me? She's critical of her sister. Hey, but don't miss this. She's critical of Jesus. She said, Jesus, don't you care?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, don't tell me you've never said, Jesus, don't you care about what I'm going through? Come on now, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
She was critical of Jesus and Mary. Listen, the two people that were closest to her. Her family and her Savior. See, being cumbered about much will cause you, listen to me, to start getting critical even of Jesus. Bitter. Well, how come so and so? And you, boy, you start pointing fingers at everybody.
Yeah.
Even Jesus. Well, Jesus, you're not helping me here. I thought you said you were going to, I thought you were supposed to. Well, the preacher said, the Bible says, are you listening to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
And so you find yourself critical of the people that are closest to you, the ones that are, the only, by the way, the only ones that really care about you,
Amen.
Really care about you. I mean, that was her sister. Mary loved her. We know that. Jesus loved her. We know that. But she was criticizing both of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
In her own house. Folks, listen, we've got to be real careful. I'm just gonna move through these, but she's accusing. The Bible says Satan's the accuser of the brethren. When you find yourself accusing other Christians of wrongdoing, you're not right.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. Thank you for helping me. Now listen, it's true. It may be true, but it ain't for you to judge and decide. It's for you to pray about.
Amen.
Try. Amen.
Amen. It ain't for you. The Pharisees said, Jesus, you are a hypocrite. Jesus, you are a liar. Jesus, you're a blasphemer. Now, I don't want to identify with that crowd.
Right.
I mean, they're the ones that took this woman, drug her to Jesus. She's caught in adultery. Jesus said, no, she didn't. No, she's not. No, he didn't say that. She was guilty. But you know what? They just wanted to kill her. They just wanted to crucify her right then and there. That's not the right spirit.
That's right. Amen.
That's not the spirit of grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Jesus said, where art thou condemners? And she said, well, there are. He said, they don't condemn. He said, I don't condemn you anymore either. He said, go and sin no more. But he didn't kill her. He didn't stone her. He said, my grace, I'm going to take your punishment. I'm going to take your sin on the cross. I'm going to carry it on myself. But you go and sin no more. But see, that's what grace is all about. Where we don't judge people and criticize people because they're this and they're that. We just pray for them. We know they're wrong. We have to maybe separate ourselves from them. But this was her sister and Jesus. This was the one who was... These people weren't doing anything against her. But she was just critical. She was bitter. Because she was cumbered about much. She was critical. She was mean. Mean. She was not only did that being cumbered about much cause her to be critical. Hey, notice it. I want you to look at this. It caused her to be cocky and arrogant.
Against Jesus, yeah.
Look in verse 40. She said, Lord, dost thou not care? And I mean, that's, what kind of attitude is that? But then she says, bid her therefore that she help me. I mean, she's demanding Jesus, do what I say. Now, are you kidding me? Total irreverence, total disrespect, bossy, demanding,
arrogant,
high-minded, haughty, prideful. I mean, she's telling Jesus, tell her to help me.
Yeah.
She's got some problems, doesn't she, church? I would say she done lost her mind.
Praise the Lord.
Bossy, I mean, puffed up, brash, pretty much almost a smart aleck. Jesus, if you don't care, you could tell her to help me, you know. Whew. You said, preacher, it's not in there. I'm telling you, this is her attitude. If you'll just watch and read and listen and let the Holy Spirit. Her attitude is irreverent, disrespectful, cocky, arrogant. She's demanding that God do something right now the way she wants it done.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
You know why? Because she's weighed down.
Yeah.
With much, many things. Jesus is sitting there. She's so weighed down with stuff. She's critical. She's cocky and arrogant. Notice though, she's also conceited. Conceited. Who's she thinking about? Completely wrapped up in herself. She's conceited. She's full of herself. She's very selfish. She's become very selfish. You know, listen to me. I'm not preaching against Martha like I don't understand, because I do, and so do you.
Amen.
If you'll just be honest, so do you. I mean, how many times have you gone to the Lord in prayer and said, God, fix this. I can't handle this anymore. You can fix this. And He can.
Yeah.
But we should be like the leper who said, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst cleanse me. Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. But see, we get cumbered about so many things, burdened down, weighed down with the cares of this life, that we get cocky, critical. And that, don't forget that that criticism always, always lashes out at those that are closest to us. The ones that we love and love us the most. Our brethren.
Amen.
Our brethren at church, the ones who are supposed to be, they are here for you and with you and praying with you and for you, but yet we come to church and we start picking everything apart.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have that in my heart. I've been there.
Yes, sir. We start picking everybody apart. But hey, has it dawned on you that we're on the same team?
Amen.
We're not supposed to be picking people, each other apart. Quite frankly, we're not supposed to be picking anybody apart, but we're certainly not supposed to be causing division among the brethren. Discord. That's God. It's ungodly. It's satanic.
Lord have mercy.
But we get weighed down with real cares, real burdens.
Amen.
And we get critical of the people that are closest to us, and we blame Jesus, and we start to get conceited. It's all about me, and it's all about my problems, and it's all about my needs. And we get cocky and arrogant with Jesus. Verse 41, being cumbered about also caused her to be careful. Now this word in verse 41, thou art careful, Jesus said, and troubled. This word means troubled. It means worried. It means full of anxiety. You know what it means to be anxious? Worried. There's no peace in her heart. I mean, you can tell that by reading these verses. There's no peace in her heart. She's consumed with worry, anxiety, stress.
Yeah.
Why do we have so many people watch now, be careful. Why do we have so many people on antidepressant medication?
Yeah.
Save people. I mean, doctor would have said, Valium. Now, I know, listen, don't get me wrong, mental disease and things like that are real, but most of those things are spiritual problems. Amen, preacher. Thank you for helping me.
Yeah.
Most of the things that we go to the doctor and take pills for are spiritual problems.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
The maniac of Gadara, perfect example. He was suicidal. The doctor would have put him in lockdown and put him in a white vest in a padded room. You were suicidal. And they would have doped him up with everything they could have found to keep him calm. It was one encounter with Jesus and he was completely different. Yes. It was a spiritual problem.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So there are real... God, please don't go home and say, Brother Fogg said nobody gets sick anymore. Come on. Don't put words in my mouth, please. Maybe that just means you're being critical. I'm not being critical of real problems, but there are a lot of problems that are nothing but spiritual problems that people are doping themselves up and they can't even find God anymore because they're not, their mind is gone.
God knows it.
And it's all because somewhere along the way they got burdened down with so much. Cumbered about so much. She was troubled deeply. That's what Jesus said. You're troubled about many things. I mean, troubled down to the very depths of her heart. Carrying around trouble and cares and concerns and anxieties and worries and woes and burdens, and it just turns into bitterness and anger and envy and strife, and it turns into all of the things that she was so filled with anxiety. And Jesus said, you're just full of trouble. Man, I tell you what, I'm not Martha, but there are days when I can relate. Yeah. And I'm just being real this morning.
Amen.
Being cumbered about caused her to be critical of those who loved her the most, those who were the closest to her, her own Savior. Caused her to be cocky and arrogant, demanding. By the way, if she was demanding of Jesus, I promise you she was going to be demanding of everybody else.
Yeah.
You just show me a bossy person trying to control everybody, and I'll show you someone who's got this problem.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Come on.
Amen.
I think this is right here on the bottom shelf where we can all reach it this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, come on. Thank God for Jesus.
Martha's cumbered about so much. She's conceited. Which, by the way, is nothing more than vanity.
Yeah.
Spoiled. She sounds like a spoiled, rotten brat, doesn't she?
Yeah. Christ understood.
She sounds like a spoiled, rotten brat. She certainly doesn't sound like a mature woman. She sounds like a little crybaby. But she had real problems. She was troubled. She was anxious. She was worried. She was careful. She was cumbered about much. And listen, all of this finally caused her, listen, to be corrected by Jesus. Look in verse 41. Jesus answered. Now, again, we're talking about a compassionate Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for His compassion, because some of us would have ripped her face off and said, Martha, you ain't nothing but a big whiny crybaby. Would you shut up and sit down and let somebody else sit? But listen, Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha. I can just see him shaking his head, can't you? Martha, Martha, you got big problems.
Yeah.
Martha, he's calling her down. He's not saying, notice he didn't say, you're right, Martha. Mary, go help her. Did he do that? Mary, she's right. How dare you? Get up. No. He said, Martha, Martha, sister, let me help you. Let me help you. He said, Martha. Now, he didn't bless her. He didn't He didn't scold her, but he didn't bless her either. He was calling her down. He's correcting her wrongful opinions. Now listen, she was already saved, so he's not convicting her in her need for salvation. But listen, when we let Jesus in, don't miss this. When we let Jesus in, when we get saved, that doesn't mean that our life is never going to have any more burdens. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have any more cares or concerns or real trouble. But when we let Jesus in, listen to me, we need to be willing to let Him call us down when we need it.
Amen.
Correct us. A wise man receiveth instruction. Jesus said, Martha, you're not right. You're not right. Now, thank God for the Holy Spirit. I don't see Martha arguing with Him. Okay? So she was willing to admit, Jesus, you're right, I am. I am very burdened down. I am very weighed down. I am very troubled with many things. Does it seem, listen, sometimes it seems like all you get from Jesus is correction, calling down. All you get from the preaching is, dang, bam, bam, bam. Instead of encouragement and blessings and help and strength, sometimes it just seems like all God's doing is correcting me and calling me down and scolding me, and bam, bam. And you know, but listen, you gotta change your attitude about all that.
Depending on how you look at it.
He did call her down. He did correct her. But listen, it was for one reason, because she had big problems and she needed His help.
Yeah. Amen.
He corrected her. And she didn't stop. She didn't argue with Him. But here's my last thought. She was cumbered about, and it caused her to be critical, cocky, conceited, careful, and troubled. Finally, she had to be corrected by Jesus. But listen, it was all because she was confused about her priorities. Now, I'm trying to help you this morning if you'll listen. All of this was because she was confused about her priorities. Verse 42 says, and here's the answer. Jesus gave her the answer. And I'm going to give you what Jesus told her. But you're careful and troubled about many things, Martha, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing, which shall not be taken away from her. Now stop a minute. Never once did Jesus say, Martha, stop serving. He didn't say that. Never once did He say, Martha, stop cleaning your house. Ladies, He did not say that.
Amen.
Never once did He say, stop cooking for us.
Amen.
Didn't say that, ladies.
Amen.
Or men, for that matter. He didn't say, stop serving. We're called to be zealous unto good works. So we're God's created workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're called to be servants of the Most High God. We are not supposed to stop serving, but Martha was confused, listen, about the priorities. She had them backwards.
Amen.
And Jesus pointed this out to her. I'm trying to point this out to you. Martha was mixed up. She was confused about her priorities. Jesus told her that what Mary was doing, listen, was to be first before serving. We got a lot of people, not enough, but we got a lot of people serving God out of order. We don't have enough. But I'm telling you, when you do the work of God in your own strength, this is how you're going to end up. Like Martha. Critical, conceited, cocky, arrogant, demanding, bossy. And Jesus is just going to keep on correcting you until you get it right. And the problem is you're confused about the priority. The priority is not serve, 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 serve. No. Priority, listen, let me get it to you straight. It's sit with Jesus and then serve.
Amen.
sit at his feet and then serve. Now think about this. Jesus was in her house. Right? Sitting. He's sitting. Let's just say here. He's sitting here maybe. And maybe she's sitting over there on the floor. Now, the Bible says, look up here in verse 40, verse 39. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, notice, and heard his what? Word. So he was saying something. He was saying something.
Yeah.
What was he saying, preacher? I have no idea. But can I tell you, anything he ever said was the word of God.
Amen.
Absolutely. Anything. He could have been singing the ABCs. He could have been singing something from Mickey Mouse, a romper room. No, I'm just kidding. But maybe it didn't relate to Martha at that time. Maybe it was not what Martha was looking for, but it's what she needed. And it's what would have helped her not be so cumbered about so many things. It's what would have helped her not be critical and cocky and conceited and arrogant and get corrected. It would have helped her to get her priorities straight, but she had them backwards. She had them backwards. You know why people come to church and start picking other Christians apart? Because they haven't sat at Jesus' feet.
That's right.
Amen. They haven't heard his word before they start serving.
Yeah.
Start finding faults with everybody in the church, and finding faults with your own family, finding faults with your preacher, the one who's trying to help you. I mean, you can find fault with everybody because we're all sinners.
Right.
But don't miss this, beloved. I can find plenty with you too. But that's not the point.
Amen.
That's not the point.
Amen.
The point is, if I'm acting that way, then I've got the problem because I haven't sat long enough at Jesus' feet. I'm trying to serve in my own strength. And so all I can think about is my burdens. We've all got them.
Amen.
They're not going to go away.
That's right.
Lord knows I've been there.
They're not going to go away, church. We live in a real world with real problems, and we're just real sinners. They're not going to go away. But what we're going to have to do is not end up like Martha, or we're going to be destroyed. We got to get at Jesus' feet first.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 And then we can serve in His strength,
yeah,
in His power, in His Spirit.
Amen.
Remember, do you see any compassion in Martha?
Not yet.
I don't see any compassion in Martha.
Right.
Matter of fact, I think Martha had a problem with this her whole life, because over in John 11, when her brother Lazarus died and Jesus showed up 4 days later, Martha said, "If thou would have been here, my brother would not have died."
Yeah.
Hello! Who do you think you are? I'm the conceited, cocky, arrogant, critical Martha that I've always been. Maybe she never learned. Okay, some people never learn. Have you noticed that? I don't want to be one of those people that never learn. I don't want you to be one of those people that never learn. But the whole problem was she was confused about what was... Notice, one thing is needful, verse 42. Again, he never told her serving was wrong. I didn't say that. That will never come out of my mouth. We all need to serve the Lord.
Amen. Right.
But we can't do it in our own strength. Or we're going to end up just like Martha. Verse 42 says, one thing is needful. One thing. Needful. Necessary. Priority. Notice, Mary hath, what's that next word? Chosen. You know what Martha's problem was? She was confused about priorities because she was making wrong choices.
Yeah.
Isn't it a blessing that God gives us choices in life? I was coming to church this morning, I think it was this morning. Yeah, and was it this morning? Yeah, it must have been this morning. And I drove past a house, of course, and a lady's out setting up her yard sale. And I'm thinking, on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
That would have never happened, even 50 years ago.
That's right.
But then I remembered, but thank God, we have a free country.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, whether you like it or not, the freedom that God gives us to do this extends to them also to do that. And if God takes that away, he can take this away too. So I'm going to be thankful that we have a free country. I'm thankful that we have a free will to choose things that we can serve God out of desire and heart and out of free will. And God doesn't make us do anything, but He does give us choices and He does give us wisdom and He does want us to make choices based on wisdom. Yeah. And wisdom would have been, Jesus is in my house sitting and talking and teaching something. I don't know what he's talking about, but whatever it is good and I need it. So I'm going to sit there, and when he's done, then I'll get up and do what I need to do. But not until I sit with him.
Amen.
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 Thank God. Well, I mean, how much did she miss while she was over here clinging and clanging and clamoring in the kitchen? That's nothing wrong with that, ladies.
Amen.
But when Jesus was there, she missed what he said because she's over here cumbered about with much serving. She missed what he said.
Yeah.
She missed his word. And so she became all of these things. I don't know about you, but like I said, life is full of problems. Making right choices, keeping, maintaining right priorities, sitting first,
amen,
and then serving. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 quickly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and I'm done. We'll not be back to Luke 10. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Not everybody else's wife, your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify, notice, and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the word. What was wrong with Martha? Well, Jesus' word hadn't washed away her critical spirit. What was wrong with Martha? Well, Jesus' word hadn't washed away her cocky, arrogant spirit. What was wrong with Martha? Well, Jesus' word hadn't washed away her conceited and selfish spirit, bossy and demanding spirit. What was wrong with Martha? Well, Jesus' word hadn't washed away her worries and cares and fears and troubled mind. What was wrong with Martha? Well, Martha, Jesus' word hadn't washed away her confused priorities. See, once the Word of God washes away all of these things that cumber us about, you say, but the burdens don't go away. No, but I realize that I can cast my cares upon Him because He cared for me. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We don't need to look for a better job or a better house or a bigger this or a better that. We just need to sit with Jesus a little while longer.
Amen. Praise God.
And let His Word wash away the things that are causing us to become so mean.
Yeah.
Bitter. Angry. Fault-finding. Conceited. I mean, that's every one of those things describes Satan. The only hope we have is God's Word. Washing it away. The burdens don't go away, preacher. You know what? But I don't even realize they're there anymore.
Yeah.
I handle them differently. I get a different spirit about it. I get a different attitude, a different perspective. I realize that God is not dead. I realize that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I realize that I can go forward. I press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How am I going to get that? Through the washing of the water of the Word of God.
Amen.
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 But instead of that, I just jump out of bed, throw some clothes on, and go out and do what I want to do in my strength, in my flesh, and I'm nothing but a miserable wreck.
Yeah. Right.
Now, every one of us has been there.
Amen.
And we know the difference.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
When I try to do something in my own, all I can do is gripe.
You taught me that today, Lord.
But when I'm at Jesus' feet. Keep in touch with Jesus. Amen. Like Brother Roloff used to sing. Amen. He'll keep you sweet. Amen. He washes away all that bitterness. Amen. Envy. Strife. Yes, sir. Isn't it a blessing how Jesus did not call down Mary not one time in that scene? Now, she wasn't perfect. She's a sinner too. But he used her as a positive example for her sister.
Right.
Yeah. And after he got done correcting Martha, what did Martha say? Don't look over there, I'll tell you. Listen, when God corrects us, you really don't have anything you can say. Because
right.
He goes right down to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
Now you can make excuses all you want. But the Bible says that the mouth shall be stopped and all the world guilty before God.
Yes.
We're all guilty.
That's right.
We don't need to try to make excuses this morning or any other morning.
Man,
we just need to listen to the Word of God, listen to the Holy Spirit,
right,
and get rid of that spirit that's killing us. She wasn't going to kill Mary. She wasn't going to kill Jesus. She was killing herself.
Yeah.
She was killing herself. Bitter. Mean. Loud mouth women. Something's wrong. Come on now. Y'all get quiet all you want to, but there's something wrong when we get bossy and demanding and start telling everybody else what to do. Because listen, hey, who died and made you boss? Anybody ever tell you that?
Yeah.
Who died and put you in charge? That's what Samuel tells Shelby all the time. Shelby, you're not my boss. But really, listen, where was I? Anyway, we really have to understand that Martha was on the road for a big train wreck in her life. Jesus said, Martha, stop. Sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down. Right here at my feet. That will wait. By the way, that will still be there when you get up. Still be there.
Right.
But you need to sit down and listen to His words. Let's all bow for prayer this morning. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Jesus. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit and Your Word. And I pray that You would work in all of our hearts this morning. Lord, there's a whole lot of Marthas. And it's just a natural, Lord, tendency that we have in our flesh. We're so busy. We're so burdened. We're so distracted. And we even get to the point where we get critical of our Savior. And Lord God, help us today. Help us to wake up and find a place, Lord God, to just kneel before You and ask Your forgiveness. And God, we ought to be thanking You for correcting us in such a perfect manner, giving us the answer, Lord God. Well, we know that this world is full of trial and tribulation. You shall have trial. You shall have tribulation. That's what You told us, Lord. We shall suffer persecution. We know that. But Father in heaven, we can press onward in the right spirit through Your Word. Please bless Your people this morning. Help us all, Lord God. Help us all to be honest with ourselves.